Paul is a prisoner of Nero. And as a royal prisoner with a royal guard chained to him 24 hours a day, he gets to talk to all kinds of key people he would never otherwise talk to because he's an important prisoner. He's chained 24 hours a day to a palace guard for 2 years. They changed that guard every 4 hours. So I added it up. Over 2 years, he witnessed to 4,380 guards. Now my question is, who's the real prisoner here? Who has the captive audience? Paul is talking to the entire court of Caesar's palace.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness. This is part two of a message called How to Be Happy No Matter What, taken from the book of Philippians. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will show you how to find real and lasting happiness based on what God's Word has to say on the subject. It's called The Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. You can find out more right now by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word daily to 313131 while you listen to today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Now, the truth is, no matter what's going on in your life, the good, bad, the ugly, God is working out a plan. And he even takes all of our mistakes and even puts those into the plan. He says, I can use that too. My sins, yes. My faults, yes. What other people do, yes. God says, I can fit it all into the plan. And Paul knew this. And so he starts out, the first verse is verse 12, and he says this. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Now let me explain what's going on here. Ever since Paul had become a Christian on the road to Damascus, he had dreamed one great dream, and that was this. I want to preach in Rome. Rome is the center of the universe. Rome is the capital of the empire. Rome is the most prestigious, powerful, strategic city in the world. We've picked out 12 of those strategic cities where we're planting this year and next year churches at Saddleback. But if we had been planning in those days, we would have been planting in Rome. There's no doubt about that. There was no nation more important than the Roman Empire, and there was no city more important than Rome. So Paul's dream is sharing Christ at the center of the universe. And what he wants to do is this. He wants to go to Rome, he wants to rent the Colosseum, and he wants to do a harvest crusade for 6 months. That's what Paul's thinking. I'm going to Rome to preach. God had another idea. Paul, you're going to go as a prisoner, and I'm going to make you a royal prisoner of Caesar. Now, does anybody know who was Caesar at this point? Nero. You ever heard of that guy? Yeah, Nero. About as wicked and as bad as you can get. So, Rome. Paul is a prisoner of Nero. And as a royal prisoner with a royal guard chained to him 24 hours a day, he gets to talk to all kinds of key people he would never otherwise talk to because he's an important prisoner. He's chained 24 hours a day to a palace guard for 2 years. They changed that guard every 4 hours. So I added it up. Over 2 years, he witnessed to 4,380 guards. Now my question is, who's the real prisoner here? Who has the captive audience? Paul is talking to the entire court of Caesar's palace. And God says, this is my plan. You want to go do the big city lights national crusade, but I'm going to put you in prison. And there were two results of it, we know for sure. Chapter 4, when we get to later on, will tell us that within 2 years, some of Nero's own family had become believers. Because Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Some of the royal family had become Christians because Paul was in prison. And second, Paul, it's kind of like Rick Warren, it's hard to get him to sit down, sit still, not stop moving. He's forced to sit still, and he, as a result, writes the New Testament. I wonder which had a bigger impact.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How to Be Happy No Matter What from our series, The Habits of Happiness. There's so much more coming up, so stay right here. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the six-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically-based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment. Relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others. Release the pain of your past hurts and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren.
Once again, here's Rick.
Paul is a prisoner of Nero. And as a royal prisoner with a royal guard chained to him 24 hours a day, he gets to talk to all kinds of key people he would never otherwise talk to because he's an important prisoner. He's chained 24 hours a day to a palace guard for 2 years. They changed that guard every 4 hours. So I added it up. Over 2 years, he witnessed to 4,380 guards. Now my question is, who's the real prisoner here? Who has the captive audience? Paul is talking to the entire court of Caesar's palace. And God says, this is my plan. You want to go do the big city lights national crusade, but I'm going to put you in prison. And there were two results of it, we know for sure. Chapter 4, when we get to later on, will tell us that within 2 years, some of Nero's own family had become believers because Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Some of the royal family had become Christians because Paul was in prison. And second, Paul, it's kind of like Rick Warren, it's hard to get him to sit down, sit still, not stop moving. He's forced to sit still, and he, as a result, writes the New Testament. I wonder which had a bigger impact. Go do a Harvest Crusade in the Colosseum, or be forced to sit still hour after hour and write Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and on, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and most of the New Testament. This is why Paul says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, being in prison, has helped spread the good news. So he says, I've got my plan, but God has a bigger plan. And he says, I can be happy because I can see what God is doing through my problem. Now, I'm going to just stop right here for a second. I want you to think of a problem that you're facing right now in your life. Okay? Think of a problem that you're facing in your life. And I want us to bow our heads for 30 seconds. Okay? Just bow your head. And I want you to say these words in your heart. God, help me to see this problem from your perspective. Help me to see this problem with eyes of faith. Amen. Now, anytime you have a problem and it's starting to get you down, you're starting to be unhappy, you need to do what Paul does. Learn to see it from God's point of view. What is God doing here? What's the bigger picture? What's the bigger perspective? And then you'll be able to face the problem in faith. And when you face the problem in faith, two things will happen. Write these down. First, it's a witness to unbelievers. When Christians handle big problems in faith, it is a witness to unbelievers. That's why in verse 13 he says, for everyone here, talking about the palace guard and in the royal prison, everyone here, including all the soldiers and the palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. Well, I guess so. He'd witnessed over 4,000 times the guys chained to him. It's a witness to unbelievers. Number two, it's an encouragement to believers. In verse 14, he says this, and because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence, those in Rome, and they've become more bold in telling others about Christ. It's a witness to unbelievers. It's an encouragement to believers. Have you ever thought that God might want to use the problem you're going through right now for the very same reason? You know, since Matthew died, both of these have been true in my life. It has been a witness to unbelievers. It's been an encouragement to believers. Why? Because Kay and I looked at the problem from God's perspective, not our own, and we faced it in faith. This week, the story went out in People magazine. I never imagined in my lifetime that I would ever be on People magazine. I mean, I know I'm that good looking, but but I never imagined in my lifetime that I would be in People, on the cover of People magazine. So how many people have heard the gospel since Matthew died? Millions. Millions. Because of all of the stories and the interviews and the CNN and all that. Millions have heard the good news. And I could say, like Paul, I want you to know, friends, that all that has happened to me has worked out for the furthering of the good news. Have you ever thought that that might be true in the problem in your life? If you will look at it from that way, it's going to change your perspective in a major way. All right, number two, second habit. I can be habit no matter what happens if I never let others control my attitude. And this is a good example of Paul gives us right here in this passage. I can be happy no matter what happens in my life if I never let others control my attitude. I don't let them decide whether I'm going to be happy or not. Now, Paul, in this next section, he talks about four kinds of people. And while he's in prison, he says, now, there are some people who are attacking my ministry. They slandered Paul. They judged Paul. They criticized Paul. They were gossip mongers. There were some people who supported his ministry that were friends. There were some who competed with his ministry. They're trying to kick him while he's down. And there were some who were undermining his ministry. They're even trying to destroy him. They're trying to rub it in. He's in prison. They're trying to make it more painful. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, Paul describes four kinds of people. Three of them are killjoys. One's a good kind. And he says, there are four kinds of people in my life. There are critics, who are slandering me and who are creating all kinds of controversy. There are comrades, that's my friends. There are competitors who are preaching Christ out of rivalry. And he said, they're conspirators who just want to make my problem worse. They want to rub it in. They want to kick me while I'm down, while I'm in prison. They're my enemies. Now notice these verses there on your outline. First verse, this is verse 15, talking about critics. He says, it is true that some preach Christ because they are jealous and quarrelsome. Circle the word quarrelsome. That word in Greek is the word eris, E-R-I-S. And it means they love to argue. Have you ever met anybody like that? They love to argue. They love conflict. They enjoy creating controversy. They enjoy getting into a cat fight. These people are contentious. They are divisive. They are critical. Have you ever heard a radio preacher like that? They're out there. When people criticize something, they usually are jealous of it. But what he's saying here is, he says, you know, I have to deal with these people. And would you agree that few things could rob your happiness faster than being criticized? When you're criticized at work, or you're criticized by friends, or you're criticized by neighbors, Your stomach starts churning. Why? Because we all want to be loved. We all want to be approved. We want everybody to like us. But let me give you a little happiness hint, one of those little HHs. You might write this down. I don't need other people's approval to be happy. I don't need other people's approval. I don't need other people's permission to be happy. You're as happy as you choose to be. If they're unhappy, that's their choice. But you don't have to depend on other people's approval in order to be happy. And if you haven't got it now, you're probably not going to get it. And you're going to be miserable if you try to live for the approval of everybody else. Paul is modeling here, never let others control your attitude. And some of these people, they're just jealous and they're quarrelsome and they're cranky and they criticize everything I do in my ministry. And then in the next verse, verse 16, he talks about the good guys. These are his friends. These are his comrades. He says, others preach Christ from genuine goodwill, and they do so out of love. That's the real reason we share the good news, out of love. And they know that God has given me the work of defending the gospel. So he says, you know, those people bring me joy, obviously. And then in verse 17, he talks about another killjoy, competitors. He says, others preach Christ insincerely from a spirit of selfish ambition. Circle the phrase selfish ambition. He said, I hate to say this, but they're actually people in ministry. There are people with national ministries, radio, television, and books, and who are ego-driven. And how do you know when somebody's ego-driven? They put other people down all the time to build themselves up. That's when you know somebody's ministering in selfish ambition. They feel compelled to put other people down in order to build themselves up. Now, you're not a preacher, but if you're in any kind of business, you have competitors. And if you don't deal with this, competitors will rob your happiness. And you'll look at what they're doing. You can have competition over the color of your lawn. Neighbor's yard's greener. We better get ours going. You can have competition over the car you drive. You can have competition over your kids. My kid was student of the month at Folsom Prison. You know? But, you know, that's competition. My kid, and I'm so proud. You can compete over hairstyles. You can compete over shoes. Don't look at people right now, but you know that's true. You know that's true. And if you don't deal with this, you're going to be unhappy a lot of your life because critics will rob your happiness and competitors will rob your happiness. And Paul says, you know what? Even in the ministry, there are competitors. And they're selfishly, ambitiously, and insincerely preaching the good news. And then in the second part of verse 17, he talks about conspirators or enemies. These are people who just want to mess him up. He says, other people just want to stir up more trouble for me. And they want to add to my pain while I'm in prison. I did a whole series on this, remember, called The Crazy Makers. Remember that one? Crazy Makers. There are troublemakers, there are crazy makers, and they will rob your happiness unless you know how to deal with them. By the way, you know what is the favorite tool of crazy makers and troublemakers? Gossip. Gossip. Gossip is the number one sign of a troublemaker. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a person who gossips is as bad as a saboteur. They're an emotional terrorist. That's what the Bible says. You should not gossip. Now, you're going to have all four of these in your life. Critics, comrades, competitors, and conspirators. I certainly have. Don't let them rob you. Now, I want you to see Paul's attitude toward, he says, I'm in prison. I'm already down, and these guys are kicking me while I'm down. Critics, conspirators, and competitors. He says, you know, they're trying to get at me. Look at verse 18. Here's Paul's attitude. What others do, he says, what they do, what these people do, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Circle that. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, the message of Christ is being shared. So, he says, I am happy and I will continue to be happy. I love that. I'm not going to let other people control my attitude. There may be people criticizing me for what I'm doing. There may be people competing with what I'm doing. There may be people who are conspiring to make sure I fail in what I'm doing. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on Christ, and I am choosing to be happy, and I will continue to be happy. He says, I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. There are a few well-known guys in America who like to take pot shots at me, pastors and people. And every once in a while on social media, someone will say, Pastor Rick, have you heard what so-and-so said about you? And what do you think about them? And my answer is always the same. It's been the same for years and years and years. And I say this, what they think of me in no way controls what I think of them. And I have nothing but the highest admiration for their ministry. Why? I'm not going to let anybody rob my joy. I'm not going to let anybody rob my happiness. I don't care what they say about me. They do not control what I choose to think about them. And that's why I don't let people rob my happiness. Some of you remember, I told you this during the last series that, you know, when Matthew died, there were some really mean-spirited people out there who were saying all kinds of vile and mean things and celebrating Matthew's death and saying I should die and go to hell too and on and on and on. And I remember, you know, going through that fire, and Greg Laurie, my friend, asked me, he said, Rick, what do you feel coming out of this? And I said, honestly, I feel fearless. I told you that. I said, I honestly feel fearless. I said, because the truth is, if I ever cared about what other people think, I certainly don't now. Okay, you can't throw anything worse at me than what's been thrown at me in the last 6 months. You just can't. And I said, I feel fearless. And I've always felt that since that moment, since he asked that. And then this week I was studying this passage and I saw verse 28 where Paul says this, be fearless. Be fearless, no matter who opposes you. It will be a sign to them of their downfall, and that God is with you, and that He will save you.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast or this entire series, you can simply go to rickwarren.org to get a hold of a copy for yourself or a friend. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional and check out all the other available resources. Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the 6-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment, relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others, release the pain of your past hurts, and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. We'll send it your way as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thank you so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
I want to close today by just reading another letter from somebody who's written to me after a broadcast. This one's from Sharon. She says, Pastor Rick, for sure, it hasn't been easy for me to believe that God could talk to someone like me about my situation. But now I believe it, and I believe it so much. You've sent me encouraging, guiding messages that are real and applicable to my situation, and I thank God so much for you and the Daily Hope team. Your messages have encouraged me and challenged me when I feel like giving up. Pastor Rick, your prayers and your encouragement are enabling me to believe in God more and more and to carry on in my challenging new job. So thanks, Sharon. Well, thank you, Sharon. Everybody needs hope. That's why I started Daily Hope, for people just like you. And I want to continue to encourage you to keep on listening
and keep on supporting this ministry so more and more people can be encouraged with daily hope. God bless you. We'll see you next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.